A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been running OPN Sense for a couple of years now. Swapped out the ISP router, decoupled the access point, did all the sensible things. And now he's staring at this control panel that has more menus than a small airline's operations center, and he's wondering what's actually worth his time.
That panel is intimidating the first time you open it. I remember thinking, wait, this is a home router? It looks like something a network engineer would use to run a campus.
That's exactly the tension in his prompt. He's got this platform that feels vastly overpowered for what he's doing. A couple of VLAN tags, basic routing. But he suspects that's the point. The overpoweredness is the feature, not the bug. He wants to know what plugins and features beyond firewall controls are worth tinkering with if you're interested in learning how traffic is shaped, managed, and optimized. How does using OPN Sense as a home router become both practical and genuinely educational? What's the risk of getting distracted by all the buttons? And how do you approach learning systematically? And how do these skills apply across home, business, whatever environment it's deployed in?
Daniel's basically asking for a curriculum. And he's right. OPN Sense is a full enterprise-grade routing platform built on FreeBSD, and every feature in it maps to a real networking concept. Traffic shaping is quality of service. VLANs are 802.1Q. The plugins extend into monitoring, caching, certificate management, ad blocking. Tinkering with it isn't button pushing. It's a hands-on networking course where the lab is your actual house.
So today, we're going beyond the firewall tab. We'll survey the plugin ecosystem and pick the highest leverage ones for learning. Dig into how traffic shaping actually works under the hood, and then talk about how to approach all of this without disappearing into a config tweaking hole for 6 months.
And how these skills scale. Because the same CoS principles you learn, capping a guest VLAN at home, are what a network admin uses to keep a call center's VoIP from crumbling under 100 simultaneous video streams.
First, let's open the plugin repository and see what's actually worth your time.
The plugin system is accessible right from the web interface, system, firmware, plugins, and the list is long. You've got NTopDong for real-time network monitoring, Sensei for next-gen firewall analytics, OZACMI client for Let's Encrypt certificates, OZA WireGuard for VPN, OZA NetData for system metrics, OZA ZogGuard Home for DNS-level ad blocking, OZA Suricata for intrusion detection. The docs table of contents lists all of these under the plugin section, and each one is a doorway into a different layer of networking.
That's a lot of doorways.
It is, and that's the distraction risk Daniel mentioned. You can spend a week just reading plugin descriptions. But if the goal is learning how traffic actually moves and how to manage it, three stand out. NTopNing is probably the single most educational plugin in the repository. It gives you real-time traffic analysis. You can see every flow on your network, what protocol it's using, which device is talking to which server, how much bandwidth each connection is consuming. It teaches you about flows versus packets, about the difference between throughput and goodput, about how applications behave on a network. You can watch a video call spike its bitrate when someone moves, or see a smart TV phone home to 6 different analytics services the moment you turn it on.
That last one sounds less educational and more existentially upsetting.
It's both, but that's the value. NTopDong doesn't hide anything. You get the raw truth about what your network is doing. And once you've watched it for a few days, you start to develop an intuition about traffic patterns. You can spot the difference between a bulk download saturating your line and a bursty voice call. That intuition is what traffic shaping is built on. You can't shape what you can't identify.
So, NTopNing is the diagnostic tool. What about Sensei?
Sensei is a different beast. It's a next-generation firewall plugin that does application-level visibility and control. Where NTopDong shows you flows and protocols, Sensei categorizes traffic by application. It knows the difference between YouTube streaming and a Zoom call and a Steam download, even if they're all HTTPS on port 443. it uses deep packet inspection and a cloud-based application database. The educational value here is understanding how modern traffic identification works. 20 years ago, you could shape traffic by port number. Port 80 was web, port 25 was email. Now everything is encrypted and multiplexed over port 443, so you need application layer classification. Sensei teaches you that shift.
And it's a plugin, not a core feature.
Right, which is interesting in itself. OP Instance's architecture keeps the base system lean and lets plugins handle specialized workloads. Sensei runs as a separate service with its own database and reporting engine. It's heavier than Ntop Neng, you'll want decent hardware, but the visibility it gives you is remarkable. You can see that your kid's tablet spent 4 hours on TikTok yesterday, or that your work laptop's VPN client is reconnecting every 40 minutes because of a keep-alive misconfiguration. These are real things you'd never notice without application-level monitoring.
And the third one you mentioned was OSNet Data.
OSNet Data is system-level monitoring. CPU, memory, disk, I/O, network interfaces, all in real time. It connects network behavior to the hardware it's running on. If you're shaping traffic heavily, you'll see CPU spikes. If you're running Sensei and Ntop Neng simultaneously on a box with 2 gigabytes of RAM, you'll watch the memory graph climb toward the ceiling. It teaches you that network performance is always a system-level problem. A slow network isn't always a network problem. Sometimes the router is just out of memory.
I've learned that one the hard way.
Most people do. And that's actually a good transition into traffic shaping itself, because the shaper in OP Instance is where the real education happens. It's built on 2 FreeBSD subsystems, DummyNet and ALTQ. ALTQ is the alternate queuing framework. It's been in FreeBSD since the late 90s, and DummyNet is the traffic shaper and network emulator. Together, they give you pipes and queues.
Pipes and queues. Define those.
A pipe is a bandwidth limit. You create a pipe and say this pipe can carry 10 megabits per second. Any traffic you assign to that pipe is constrained to that rate. A queue is a prioritization scheme within a pipe. You create queues and assign weights, so within that 10 megabit pipe, you might give VoIP traffic a weight of 80 and bulk downloads a weight of 20. When the pipe is congested, the scheduler gives 80% of the available bandwidth to VoIP and 20% to downloads. When the pipe isn't congested, everything gets what it needs. That's the key. Shaping only activates under contention.
So it's not a hard cap per application. It's a priority system that kicks in when there's a fight for bandwidth.
And that distinction is one of the most important things OP Instance teaches you. People think traffic shaping means limit the kid's Netflix to 5 megabits. That's policing. You're dropping packets above a hard threshold. Shaping is about delaying packets to smooth out bursts and enforce a rate, but the real power is in queuing, deciding who goes first when the line is full. A VoIP packet is tiny, maybe 60 bytes, but it needs to arrive within about 150 milliseconds or the call quality degrades. A download packet can be 1500 bytes and nobody cares if it takes an extra 200 milliseconds. Queuing lets you tell the router, always send the small urgent packets first and let the big lazy ones wait.
That's a mental model that sticks with you. I find myself thinking about it now whenever a video call stutters during a big file transfer.
That's the educational payoff. Once you understand queuing, you see the internet differently. You understand why your ISP's buffer bloat problem makes your connection feel sluggish even when you have plenty of bandwidth. Because big buffers destroy the queuing signal, everything gets delayed equally, and latency-sensitive traffic drowns in a sea of bulk packets.
Walk through a concrete example. Daniel's got a guest VLAN. How would he set up shaping on that?
First, you create a pipe. In the Traffic Shaper page, you define a pipe called something like guest down with a bandwidth of 10 megabits per second. That's your hard ceiling for downloads on that VLAN. Then you create queues under that pipe, say, a high priority queue with weight 80 for DNS and small packets, a medium priority queue with weight 15 for general web browsing, and a low priority queue with weight 5 for everything else. Then you create rules that match traffic and assign it to queues. A rule might say traffic from the guest VLAN with a destination port of 53 goes to the high priority queue. That's DNS. Another rule catches traffic on ports 80 and 443 and sends it to medium. Everything else falls into low.
And the router just does it.
It does it, and you can watch it work in Ntop Neng. Open the real-time graph, start a big download on the guest network, and you'll see the pipe fill up to 10 megabits. Then make a VoIP call. The download will dip slightly, the call will be clear, and the graph will show the queue scheduler doing its job. You've just demonstrated CoS to yourself on your own network. That's not something you get from a consumer router's QoS checkbox.
The consumer router checkbox is a lie, by the way. I've never seen one that actually does anything measurable.
Most of them implement some version of WMM Wireless Multimedia Extensions, which is a Wi-Fi Alliance standard that adds 4 priority queues to the wireless interface. But it only works on the Wi-Fi side, not on the WAN interface, and the implementation is usually terrible. OPN Sense gives you the real thing end-to-end. And configuring it forces you to learn about IP addresses, subnets, ports, protocols, the difference between TCP and UDP, why DNS uses UDP, but sometimes falls back to TCP. You can't write a shaping rule without understanding what you're matching.
That's the hidden curriculum. The plugin list is the syllabus, but the actual learning happens when you try to make something work and realize you need to understand 3 layers of abstraction to get the rule right.
And you'll get it wrong the first time. You'll shape the wrong interface, or match traffic in the wrong direction, or create a queue with a weight that starves everything else. The beauty of doing this at home is that when you break it, the worst thing that happens is your spouse asks why the internet is slow. You're not taking down a branch office.
Which brings us to the second part of this. We've covered what the tools do. Now let's talk about how to use them without losing your mind.
The distraction risk Daniel mentioned is real. OPN Sense has dozens of plugins and hundreds of settings. The official documentation at docs.opensense.org has a manual whose table of contents is overwhelming the first time you scroll through it. Firewall, routing, VPN, proxies, intrusion detection, traffic shaping, reporting, system administration. Each section branches into subpages. You can spend weeks configuring things you don't need.
I've done that. There was a period where I had 6 different monitoring dashboards, and none of them told me anything I actually needed to know.
The systematic approach is to treat the manual's table of contents as a curriculum and go one chapter at a time. Pick a feature, say, traffic shaping. Read the docs page on it. Understand the underlying concept first. What's queuing? What's a token bucket filter? What's the difference between weighted fair queuing and priority queuing? Then implement it. Test it. Watch it work in Intapdung. Then move on. Don't install 5 plugins at once. Don't configure VLANs, shaping, and Suricata in the same weekend. You won't know what broke what, and you won't retain any of it.
This is where the clinical analogy fits. You were a pediatrician. You didn't learn cardiology and neurology and gastroenterology all in the same afternoon.
No, and you don't learn networking that way either. In medicine, we had a saying, see one, do one, teach one. You observe a procedure, you perform it under supervision, then you teach it to someone else. The OPN Sense equivalent is, read the docs, configure the feature, then explain to someone why it works. If you can't explain it, you don't understand it yet. That third step, teaching, is where the knowledge solidifies. Write a blog post, make a diagram, explain to your partner why their Zoom call got better after you spent 3 hours on a Saturday configuring queue weights.
My partner has never once asked me to explain queue weights.
Mine either, but the principle holds, and the other systematic approach is to start from a problem, not from a feature. Don't browse the plugin list looking for something to install. Notice that your video calls stutter when someone's downloading a game, then research what would fix that. The problem leads you to traffic shaping. Notice that your smart TV is talking to servers in 3 countries, then research how to monitor that. The problem leads you to Intapdung. Problem first learning is stickier than feature browsing.
That's actually good life advice. Don't go looking for solutions to problems you don't have.
And yet the entire self-help industry is built on doing exactly that.
Fair. But in networking, the problem-first approach also teaches you triage. You learn to ask, is this a bandwidth problem, a latency problem, a DNS problem, or a physical layer problem? Each answer points to a different tool. Bandwidth and latency point to shaping and queuing. DNS points to your resolver configuration or something like AdGuard Home. Physical layer points to a cable.
Or a faulty port, or a duplex mismatch, or interference on a wireless channel. The physical layer is always the last thing people check, and it's often the problem.
Let's talk about how these skills scale. Daniel asked about home versus business versus whatever environment. The shaping and monitoring you learn on a home OPN Sense box. Does that actually transfer to Enterprise?
Directly. The concepts are identical. An Enterprise WAN optimizer is doing the same thing as your home traffic shaper. It's just doing it across multiple sites with more sophisticated algorithms and a bigger budget. The QS principles are the same. Classify traffic, prioritize latency, sensitive applications, protect critical services from bulk transfers. If you understand how a weighted fare queue works on your guest VLAN, you understand the core idea behind the QS configuration on a Cisco or Juniper router. The syntax is different, the scale is different, but the mental model transfers.
VLANs too.
VLANs are the most directly transferable skill. A VLAN is a VLAN. 802.1Q is the same standard everywhere. When you segment your home network into a main LAN, a guest VLAN, and an IoT VLAN, you're doing exactly what a business does when it separates corporate traffic from guest Wi-Fi and building management systems. The only difference is the number of VLANs and the complexity of the routing between them. At home, you might have 3 VLANs and a handful of firewall rules. A medium business might have 30 VLANs with inter-VLAN routing policies, access control lists, and dynamic routing protocols. But the fundamentals, tagging, trunking, subnet assignment, are identical.
And monitoring with NTOPJONG. That's the same visibility a network admin has.
Same tool in many cases. NTOPJONG is used in enterprise environments. The home version and the enterprise version are the same software. The enterprise version just adds features like historical reporting, user authentication, and support for larger deployments. The flow analysis you learn at home. Identifying top talkers, spotting anomalous traffic patterns, understanding protocol distribution is exactly what a network operations center does. They just do it at 100 gigabits per second instead of 100 megabits.
So the home lab is a sandbox for professional skills.
It is, and it's a sandbox where you can break things safely. In a corporate environment, misconfiguring a traffic shaper can cost real money. Dropped calls, lost sales, angry executives. At home, you misconfigure the shaper and your Netflix buffers for 30 seconds while you fix it. The feedback loop is immediate and the stakes are zero. That's an ideal learning environment.
There's a knock-on effect here that I think is worth naming. Once you've spent time with these tools, you start to understand internet policy debates differently. Net neutrality stops being an abstract principle and becomes something you can see at the packet level. You understand exactly what an ISP could do if they wanted to prioritize their own streaming service over a competitor's. You understand why buffer bloat matters, why latency under load is a better metric than raw speed, why your gigabit connection feels slow sometimes.
That's the difference between knowing that something is true and understanding why it's true. Most people know that the internet is slow sometimes. After 6 months with OPNSense, you know that your internet is slow because your upload buffer is filling up and causing latency spikes on ACK packets, which throttles your download speed even though your download bandwidth is fine. That's a specific, actionable understanding.
And you can fix it. That's the part that changes your relationship to technology. You stop being a consumer of a mysterious service and become someone who understands and controls their own network.
The other plugin worth mentioning in this context is OS AdGuard Home. It's DNS-level ad blocking and tracking protection. It runs a DNS server on your OPNSense box that blocks known ad and tracking domains before your devices ever connect to them. The educational value, here's understanding how DNS works, how your devices resolve names to IP addresses, how blocking at the DNS level is different for browser-based ad blocking, why some ads get through and others don't. It also teaches you about DNS over HTTPS and DNS over TLS, which are increasingly important as browsers start encrypting DNS by default and bypassing your local resolver.
That's a whole episode on its own, and I think we've actually done one.
We have, and the point stands. Every plugin in OPNSense is a doorway into a networking concept. The key is to treat each one as a lesson, not a toy. Install it, learn the underlying protocol or principle, configure it properly, understand what it's doing, and then decide whether to keep it. Don't install things just because the checkbox exists.
The checkbox is a seductive thing. I've fallen for it many times.
The plugin list is a candy store. And some of the plugins are useful. OS Acme Client for Let's Encrypt Certificates means you can run a proper HTTPS web interface on your router with a trusted certificate, which teaches you about public key infrastructure and certificate authorities. O's WireGuard teaches you about modern VPN protocols and why WireGuard is faster and simpler than OpenVPN. Each one is a chapter in the networking textbook.
But you can't read the whole textbook in a weekend.
You can't. And that's the final piece of Daniel's question, the systematic approach. My recommendation is to start with monitoring. Install NTOPDung. Watch your network for a week. Learn what normal looks like. Then pick one problem you notice and fix it with traffic shaping. Then add VLANs if you haven't already. Then maybe look at AdGuard Home for DNS filtering, one feature at a time, with a gap between each to observe and understand.
That's a semester's worth of learning, not a weekend project.
It is, and that's the point. OPN Sense isn't a consumer router that you set up once and forget. It's a platform for continuous learning. The fact that it feels overpowered for a home network is exactly what makes it valuable. You grow into it over time.
And speaking of growing into things over time, Hilbert, you've been quiet back there. You've got a look on your face.
I ran traffic shaping on FreeBSD routers in 98.
Wait, really?
Small ISP in Western Massachusetts. We had a T1 line feeding a town of about 4,000 people. The router was a Pentium 2 running FreeBSD 4.something, and I configured dummy net pipes by hand in the command line. No web interface. No GUI. Just a config file and prayer.
How did that go?
I throttled the whole town for an afternoon. Typed the bandwidth value in bytes per second instead of bits per second, off by a factor of 8. Everyone's internet crawled to about 12 kilobytes a second. The town librarian called to ask if the internet was broken. The mayor called. It was a whole thing.
Did you get fired?
I explained that it was a learning experience. The town's internet was better after, honestly. We had proper queuing after that. VoIP got priority, web browsing got a fair share, and the one guy running a file server in his basement got whatever was left.
You had VoIP in 98?
We had a local CLEC running voice over ATM. It wasn't VoIP like you think of it, but it needed low latency. Same principle.
The physical layer point you made earlier, you said people always forget to check the cables. Is that from experience?
Spent 3 weeks tuning a traffic shaper for a law office. Perfect queue weights, beautiful graphs. Internet was still slow. Turned out the Ethernet cable between the router and the switch had a bent pin. Replaced it with a $3 cable, and everything was fine. 3 weeks.
3 weeks on a bent pin.
I still have that cable somewhere. Reminder.
That's actually a really good reminder. All the sophisticated queuing in the world doesn't help if your physical layer is broken.
Check the cables first, then check the duplex settings, then check the shaper. In that order.
Is that the voice of experience, or the voice of someone who still has a box of old Cisco switches in his garage?
They're in the closet, not the garage. And I plan to set them up someday.
Of course you do.
The 2600 series is a perfectly good switch. It just doesn't do gigabit.
Hilbert, you're a fascinating person.
I'm going to get coffee.
All right. With that cautionary tale in mind, check your cables, then check your shaper. Let's wrap this up. Daniel's question was about what's worth tinkering with beyond the firewall, and the answer turns out to be almost everything, but one thing at a time. Start with NTOPDung to learn what your network actually looks like. Move to traffic shaping to learn about queuing in QS, then follow your curiosity through VLANs, DNS filtering, VPNs, certificates. The manual's table of contents is your syllabus.
And the question I keep coming back to is, how do you know when you've learned enough versus when you're just fiddling? There's a line between educational tinkering and procrastination, and I'm not sure it's always obvious. Maybe the test is whether you can explain what you just configured to someone else. If you can't, you might just be clicking buttons.
That's a good test. And as home networks get more complex, more IoT devices, more streaming, more everything, the skills you pick up from OPN Sense stop being a hobby and start being useful. You're not just learning networking. You're learning to manage the infrastructure your life runs on.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, and for the reminder that a $3 cable can save you 3 weeks of debugging.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to us. show my weird prompts where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.